Our text today tells us about a mystery. As Paul is writing to the Christians in Ephesus, he writes to them about a mystery of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I like mysteries. I like reading novels about whodunit and trying to figure out who the villain is or what happened in this particular incident, or watching a television show or a movie that has a mystery that has to be solved. I like that. The dictionary defines a mystery as something not fully understood or understandable. And for us as human beings, there's something intriguing, something fascinating about a mystery. Well, we know that much of life actually involves mysteries. Much of life is mysterious to us. I enjoyed reading an article this past week that was entitled, 10 Fascinating Mysteries of Life That Science Can't Explain. And it was interesting, lots of interesting things there. Many of it was above my head, above my pay scale and understanding. They talked about things like phytoplankton and alkaloids in plants and animals that live without oxygen. But all of these things were mysteries that were happening in the world, but science couldn't explain them. But there was one that was most interesting to me, and the one that was most interesting to me was this. Cows always face north or south while they're eating. Did you know that? It seems that a study was done. A team of scientists went through thousands of Google Earth satellite images of cows and noted that regardless of the wind, regardless of any other factors, cows always face along the Earth's magnetic poles facing south to north whenever they're eating. Now that was interesting to me. You can tell what fascinates me, right? I'm a little simple. But I think maybe the most interesting thing is if you ever get lost and you see a herd of cattle, then you might be able to find your direction. But life is full of mysteries. There are all kinds of mysteries out there that we can't explain. Even science can't tell us why these things happen. Death is a mystery to us. The only one who has ever fully come back is Jesus Christ himself. And though he told us some about his experience, much of death and the afterlife in heaven remains a mystery to us. The creation is like that. Its scope, its size, its history, our universe holds so many mysteries to us. Even the invisible world around us is full of mysteries. I read about how small an electron in an atom actually is. And this particular study said that if you could take an electron and make it large enough where it was the size of an apple, and then you took a human being and made that person in the same proportion, increased his or her size in the same proportion from that electron becoming the size of an apple, then the human being would be so large that they could hold the entire solar system in their hand. In fact, they would have to take a magnifying glass to be able to see the tiny solar system. This is a mysterious world that has invisible elements all around us that we don't always understand. Well, the Bible talks about the mysteries of life, and in our passage today, Paul is writing about how life is mysterious, but it's not the only place he wrote about that. In 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote about, today we see through a glass dimly. We don't fully understand many things in life. We don't see clearly. And a lot of the whys and the hows and the whens of life are mysterious to us. We don't know why things happen or why the events of life or this world turn out the way they do. And yet we believe God is in control of this world while life remains mysterious. Well, Paul refers to the mystery of life in this text for today. And when he talks about the mystery here in Ephesians, he uses a lot of words, maybe words that are confusing to us. He talks about the administration of God's grace. He writes about the manifold wisdom of God. He talks about the unsearchable riches of God. He talks about revelation and on. These words he uses to describe the mystery may not completely help us understand the message he is trying to share. So this morning we ask, what is Paul trying to say here? Instead of getting stuck on the terms and the words, what is his message about the mystery of God. What is Paul saying about how life is mysterious? Well, fortunately for us, Paul explains what this mystery actually is. In verse 6, Paul writes, and he says this very clearly, "The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, sharers together in the promises of Christ Jesus." According to Paul, that's what this mystery is. So let's talk about what that means. Let's begin with this fact. Paul is writing to a group of Gentiles. He's not writing to Jewish believers. He's writing to Gentile believers. These folks are not from a Jewish heritage. They actually became Christians because of Paul's missionary work among them. So Paul is writing to them, and he's reminding these Gentile Christians that formerly, because they were Gentiles, they were not included in God's family. Before Jesus came into this world, Paul is saying to them, only the Hebrew people, only Jewish people were God's chosen family. God had selected them from the time of Abraham. And from that time, God established his covenant with them, and the Hebrew people were God's family. And it was through this group of people that God established his covenant that defined who was in God's family. Essentially, from the time of Abraham forward, God said to the Hebrew people, "I am giving you the law, and I expect you to do your best to keep the law. And if you keep the law, you will be my children, and you will be in good standing in my sight. I will be your God, and you will be my people." So the Jewish people accepted the law, and they tried to uphold it to follow its teachings. They were God's chosen people with a specific covenantal relationship with God. The Hebrew people were God's family. But what that meant is that everyone else was excluded. Anyone who was not Jewish then was excluded from being part of God's family. They were outside of the boundaries of who were defined as God's children. They were not promises of the heirs of God. The Gentiles were those who were not given the law. They did not have the covenant. They were kept far away from the home and the family of God. But Paul says the mystery is that now this situation has changed. The mystery is now, he writes, saying this, through the gospel, the Gentiles are now heirs together with Israel. In other words, he says, as Gentiles, we have now been adopted by God through Jesus Christ. We are now given the privilege of becoming part of God's family. We are now included in the grace of Christ Jesus. In fact, earlier in this letter in Ephesians, in chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, listen to what Paul says. He writes, "Remember that at the time, in the past, you, Gentiles, were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenant of the promise. You were," he says, "without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ." There's the mystery. You who were far away have now been brought near. You who were excluded, you who were on the outside, you who were outcast have now been brought into the family of God. That brings us back to what this day is about on Epiphany Sunday. Yesterday, January the 6th, was the specific day of Epiphany. And we recognize this day on the closest Sunday to January the 6th. So today is Epiphany Sunday for us. Now, at one time, January 6th was believed to be the day that the sun came back after the winter. For many ancient people, January 6th was the winter solstice. It was the shortest day of the year. It was the day of the cycle when the cold weather on January 6th was starting to end and the promise of summer was actually coming back. That sounds pretty good on a day like today, doesn't it? So January the 6th was considered to be the winter solstice. And before the time of Christ, actually, some other civilizations believed it was an earlier day for the winter solstice. They accepted the date of December the 25th. Now, today we know that the winter solstice is actually earlier than both of those days. It's around December 21st. But December 25th and January the 6th remain holy and sacred. In fact, in some Christian cultures, presents are exchanged on Epiphany instead of Christmas because it is the day when we remember the gifts that were brought by the wise men and the magi to baby Jesus. In the Eastern Church, January 6th, Epiphany marks the day of Jesus' baptism, which we'll talk about next Sunday in our sermon. But for us, Epiphany commemorates the journey of the Magi, those wise men from the East. These stargazers lived far away from Bethlehem. They were far away from God, but because of their faith, because they followed the light of the star, they came close to Jesus. Those who were far away were brought near. They left on a long journey. In fact, it may have been as much as 2 years for them to come and to be a part of the life of baby Jesus. And then we find in this story that that is what this mystery is about. In many ways, this connection between what Paul is saying about the mystery in Ephesians chapter 3 is very similar to what we celebrate on Epiphany Sunday with the wise men. The word epiphany literally means to uncover a surprise or to reveal a mystery. And that's exactly what the Magi did. The Magi, on their long journey, revealed the mystery of who was being foretold, whose birth was being foretold by the star. But there's more than that. We remember who the Magi were. They were Gentiles. They were not Jewish. Scripture tells us that they came from the East, and though they were not Jewish, they were Gentiles. Those who were from afar were brought near to Jesus. They had to travel this great distance to move from being outside to being inside. And once they came to the place where Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus were, the Magi were no longer foreigners or aliens. They were no longer far away or excluded. The Magi, when they came into the presence of Jesus, were brought near. They were included. They were adopted. These Gentiles became part of the family of God. You see, that is the mystery that Paul is writing about in his letter to the Christians in Ephesus. He's saying this great mystery that happened well before his ministry began was the very focal purpose of his life and ministry. Paul was the one who took the good news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ to the Gentile world. Paul was the one who, as a missionary, brought those who had been excluded into the family of God. His message to the Gentile world was this: you are now included. You are now part of God's family. You are no longer faraway aliens. You are no longer living without hope. You are no longer living without God, for Christ has come, and now you are invited to be part of God's family. Now, just like we said last week, remember where Paul was when he wrote these words. He was in prison. In fact, one person has claimed the only reason Paul was in prison was because he thought that the Gentiles had the same access to God that the Jews had. If, the person says, Paul had been content to be a Jewish Christian with a mission to the Jews, or if he had been willing to keep the Gentiles on a lower plane, then he would never have gone to jail. But Paul couldn't do that. What Paul realized is this mystery was too important. In fact, it was his sole purpose to bring the good news of the saving grace of Jesus Christ to the entire world, so that everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus Christ might be saved, would be part of God's family. And thank God Paul was committed to this mystery. Thank God Paul is committed to this ministry, because this mystery includes every one of us in this sanctuary this morning. Every person here, we are the ones who were far away. We are the ones who were excluded. We are the ones who were left out of the family of God. But this mystery, this grand and wonderful mystery that Paul committed his life to, says that every single one of us are now given the opportunity to be part of God's family. So you see, when we come to Epiphany Sunday, here's the significance of this mystery for us. It is both simple, and yet it is nearly impossible to grasp. In Bethlehem, God came in human flesh. That is the essence of the Christmas story. It is the incarnation that we celebrated throughout the month of December. The God of the entire universe, who created the stars and the seas with a single word, took on flesh and blood. That indeed is part of God's great mystery for us. But that mystery continued. For the mystery also involved the Magi, and they had faith to follow the star. Though they were Gentiles, foreigners, they traveled so that they might be included in God's family, that they might experience God's salvation. And this morning, we claim that same truth for us. We were aliens. We were foreigners. Our sin kept us far away from God, but through faith in Jesus Christ, we have now been included. We are, as Paul says in Ephesians, members of Christ's body, heirs of God's grace, part of God's family. This morning, on the first Sunday of a new year, we face 2018. And we recognize that this year is in many ways mysterious to us. Who among us this morning knows what this year has in store for us? Who knows what will happen in 2018? It is mysterious. We look through a glass dimly. We can't know what lies just ahead of us. The mysteriousness of life is a journey of faith for us, with many uncertainties lying just ahead. But on this first Sunday of 2018, on Epiphany Sunday, know this. Here's the good news that comes from Paul. Christ has come, and you have been given the mysterious privilege of being part of the family of God. We journey just as the Magi journey, not knowing what tomorrow holds, not knowing what's just around the curve in front of us, not knowing what's over the next hill. But like the Magi, our eyes remain on the light, the bright and shining light that came to us at Christmas, the light that guides and directs, the light that prompts and encourages, the light that displaces gloom and despair from our lives. And we do so knowing that we are heirs. We are part of God's family, and God will take care of us because we are his children. The mystery is this: how could God love us so much that God would send Jesus, his only son, into this messed up world to save us? How could God love us enough to allow Jesus to have that experience so that we might be saved? It doesn't make sense. It's not something we deserve. It's not something that should happen. But that's what God did. God loves us enough to send Jesus so that we might experience being part of God's family. For God's word became flesh and made its dwelling among us. And that word was light, light that shines even in the doubt and confusion and the mystery of this life. So the good news today is arise, shine, go boldly into this new year, for your light has come and you are part of the family of God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this day we give you thanks for your good news that comes to us, even those who were once far away from your love and your saving grace. Lord, we stand on the threshold of a new year, and there are many uncertainties, many unknowns. Life remains mysterious to us. And yet today, Lord, we find hope and trust in the fact that we are part of your family. We have been adopted. We are heirs of your promises. And Lord, we follow the light of traveling by faith. So lead us and guide us with faith and assurance that come what may in 2018, you are with us and we are part of your family. So lead us and guide us in these ways. We pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.